everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Confessions of a Founder. I'm your host, Alicia M. Campbell, founder and CEO of Culture Shift HR. I'm so excited, as always. I think every episode I'm excited to be here and talking about Culture Shift HR, to be talking about the journey and all of the stuff in between, and to be in a space to actually talk about a journey. And the reason is because when you actually think about it, you know, millions of businesses are started in a year. So many individuals wake up one day and say, hey, I want to start a business, and either start it right away or maybe make plans to start it in the future. And then either things start and then don't have a very happy ending, unfortunately, or things progress, but then, you know, they reach kind of superstardom and then you got like the next Google and then you're like buying everything from them. So I am so excited to be able to be in a space where I started my business in 2018, now being, you know, the first quarter of 2024, being able to talk about a journey, being able to talk about, you know, the ups and downs, the in-betweens, the highs, the lows, and all of those things that happen in the transformation of not just starting a business, but actually becoming a CEO. So I'm always going to be excited. It was funny. I was thinking about it this morning as I was getting ready to record. And, it's Monday. And, you know, Mondays, I think I'm becoming one of those people where Mondays are like, ugh. And I mean, Monday always gets the worst rap. But I think when I think about Mondays, it's kind of like that momentum to get started, you know, and getting back into the swing of things. And then I realized I was recording my podcast today. I was like, ah, I'm like so excited. So I'm really excited. And now it makes me happy about Mondays because I'll record either on the weekend or on a Monday, and it just makes the day so much better. So here we are. I'm very happy. So today's episode is actually around sales. And, you know, having, you know, sales is such a big concern and such a big obstacle for a lot of founders. And when you think about sales, the next thing that comes into mind is money. Money struggles, money wins, and as we said, everything in between. And when I think about kind of our previous episode where we talked about wearing many hats, one of the things that, you know, as a CEO, especially as I began to grow my team, the function of sales really never has left me fully. And we're going to talk about my journey in sales and getting help and support and all that good stuff. But a CEO, sales is probably on your mind more often than not when it comes to when you think about your business. For me, I would say my number one thing that I think about is the team. You know, is everybody functioning okay? Does everyone have what they need? Is everybody set up for success? What roadblocks can I remove for my team, et cetera? And the second is sales. You know, thinking about how do we get more sales? How do we, you know, get into new markets, reach out to new consumers, customers, clients? Then that funnels into branding, funnels into marketing, all that kind of great stuff. So we're going to talk about sales, and we're going to talk about specifically when it comes to sales, money. Money. And the reason is because money is actually what defines one of the key elements, I should say, is what defines a business. You know, if you're not making money, you're kind of just doing a hobby. No offense, no one who's like out there trying, but it's really at that point until you make your first sale and you have money coming in and you're actually having transactions, it's a hobby or it's, you know, not up on its feet yet. And that's important to know because people will do a lot of things and be like, yeah, it's a business, but, you know, do you know your ideal customer profile? Are you aligning your sales objectives to your marketing and branding? Are you in the right target market? Have you identified, you know, what your key products are in the language for your audience and kind of all those things that go in between? If you haven't answered those questions and really begun to push forward in that arena, then you're not technically selling anything, right? So to wind it back a little bit and to kind of talk around my experience with money, money struggles and money wins, is that if you listen to the first few episodes when I started going full-time in my business, I was very honest when I said I had no clue what I was doing. When you transition from a consultant to running a business full-time, it is a different beast. I'm talking about it being very... You have to be very open. You have to be very flexible. You have to be in different spaces to do all the things. So what I mean by that is when you're a consultant, a client says, hey, Alicia, I want you to create a workshop training. Great. I create the workshop training, deliver it, I get paid. done. You know, I have maybe a small invoice platform. I have something set up maybe on my PayPal or a Stripe account. And I do the transaction, I perform the service, and I move on my way. And that's kind of how I was as a consultant. I didn't really think about the bigger ecosystem of my business. But when I became a CEO and I'm like, okay, like we're going to do this thing and we're going to make it work, you have 10 times the things on your plate than when you had on your plate as a consultant. So going from, oh, you know, I'm just going to, you know, email a couple people. No, you're now actually doing an email campaign with like a 3-step follow-up. From, oh, you know, I'm just going to send out this invoice a day late because, oh, I'm just too tired tonight. No, I'm actually going to send this invoice 2 weeks early to make sure that I actually get paid on time so that I can actually pay myself and pay my staff via the payroll system. I'm just going to, you know, lose receipts when I have business expenses because it doesn't even really matter anyways. To actually, everything needs to be photographed and recorded to make sure that I have those receipts for my accountant so we are good come tax season. You can clearly see the key differences from consultant versus a CEO. And the thing is, especially when you're a solopreneur or like a CEO, but you maybe don't have a team, you have to keep all these things top of mind. So you're thinking about platforms, you're thinking about back-end operations. And when it comes to money, that's the biggest thing you want to track. That's the biggest thing you want to keep on top of, because that means you are getting paid on time. That means that you are staying on top of your revenue funnel. That means you're staying on top of your sales forecasts, what's coming in, what's going out, the timeline of those things. And that can totally disrupt your business model. A lot of businesses have ebbs and flows. Usually the beginning of the year is a slow season, is a slow start to the year. So you'll see a lot of sales activity in Q4 to make sure that Q1 doesn't dry up and you're kind of starting that sales cycle all over again come January 3rd. These are things that as a CEO, you need to see from like a 30,000 foot view and be mindful of as you go through different cycles in your business. So when it came to Culture Shift HR, when it came to getting sales, I was not good at it. And I would say I'm probably still not good at sales. And you might be saying, well, Alicia, you have, you are operating a very healthy 6-figure business. How do you not know sales? And I would say, you know what? That's a really great question you should be asking. And I would say it's not that I don't know sales. I'm very familiar with what the sales pipeline looks like for Culture Shift. We are a very referral heavy business model. We also have an RFP pipeline that we aggressively attack every month to submit RFPs for different DEI projects. We also have partners that will pass on different opportunities to us as well. Our marketing initiatives that we have on social also bring in leads and different referrals and things of that nature. So I am very, you know, mindful of the different pipes that go into the sales funnel. But what I will say is that sales is not an exact science. You can have a formula. You can have I know if I post this much, I'm going to get this much views, I'm going to get this much leads and this much traction, et cetera. Like you can figuratively say what it is that you're doing, but it doesn't always work. There's, you know, you have to be mindful of so many things when it comes to sales and, you know, the money machine that it allows you to generate. You have to think about your competitors. You have to think about the market that you're playing in. You have to think about your consumers. You have to think about the season and the seasonality of the business that is taking place in the moments that you're marketing. And so all of these things are coming together all in one conversation in your brain as you're thinking about, okay, am I going to be able to pay my staff this month? Am I going to be able to bring on a new hire knowing that we're going to be getting some new clients in the upcoming weeks? All of these things are going to be coming through your head and, you know, creating space in regards to being able to, you know, think about your business and being able to build your business. And I say build intentionally because you can't build your business without money. You need money to buy the platforms. You need money to pay your consultants, to pay your staff. You need money to pay yourself. You need money to begin to upgrade the type of quality and level of which you are producing a product or a service. And that really, really matters. Are you putting those funds and those revenues back into the business? Are you getting a better platform to then highlight and support your marketing initiatives better? Are you creating higher level content for your marketing initiatives to make sure you stand out? All of these things matter, and those things cannot happen without money. So if we go back when I went from 2018, when I started Culture Shift, I had my first client for probably about a year and a half, give or take. And the reason was I was still working full time, and this client was all I could really manage at the time. And I didn't have the capacity to manage the client work in the hours that I was doing it, plus, you know, go out and market and get some other larger clients. The money at the time was good, so I didn't feel like I needed more. At the time, it was kind of more of a, you know, building it and kind of it being a side hustle. But it was very mindful that, okay, even as I'm bringing in this extra money, I need to account for it in my taxes, in my budgeting. You know, if I want to build a proper website or hire someone to build a proper website for me, I have to have the funds to do so. So that was really interesting, just being like, ooh, yay, it's payday, to actually know, how are you going to reinvest this money into your business? How are you going to now use these funds to make sure that you get more money through other clients? So going from those days to today, where, you know, we have the systems, the platforms, the people, and creating more of an automation of our sales pipeline and our sales ecosystem. It's really interesting because, as I said earlier, a culture shift, I would say 85 to 90% of our business is referrals. So as much as we market and we've done sales outreaches and email campaigns and hired sales consultants for LinkedIn and email campaigns and marketing on LinkedIn and all these great things, we realized that a lot of our sales was coming in through referrals. When it kind of dawned on us that that's where we should be putting our attention, that's where we should be putting our efforts to amplify the amount of referrals that we got. So when we realized that, it was taking something that was random and that was just coming to us at various points in, you know, the month or in the quarter, and really beginning to systematize it as best as possible. Because, I mean, people are only going to refer you if they have a need and if that need is aligned with what you do. So it's not a foolproof system, but if you can align to getting more of your clients that already love you, that already want the services that you offer, that are already, you know, knowing and really providing a good testimony of your work, it's really a great way to build and scale your business. As we've grown over the years, money will come in and out and ebb and flow. And that's something that you would think is common knowledge when you're starting a business or operating a business over time. But that is so important to know your money cycles, because as quickly as someone can say, yeah, I want to work with you, let's get it going, is as quickly as they can say, we changed our mind. So always having some type of contingency plan, having a business savings with at least 3 months of expenses that can take care of a quarter or more of your business expenses should things happen, is always, always important, and something that I've continued to rely on heavily and continue to use in my business to make sure that, you know, if months are short, if things, you know, get a little bit slow, we're not in panic mode. We have the resources and the supply to do it. Now, that did not get built overnight. That took months to build, whereas we're getting, as you know, money is coming in, 10% of every contract or every service we provided would go directly into the business savings. We didn't touch it. I didn't look at it. It was like as if it didn't exist. And slowly that account gets, you know, built up. And of course, when we got maybe some of the bigger projects, then I would take a larger chunk to kind of like make sure we put it over into that account. So those things are so important to think about when you're thinking about, you know, money wins and money problems, is because, again, as easy as it can come in is as easy as it can go out or even stop. So always being mindful of those things. When it came to Culture Shift, because a lot of our business was via word of mouth, it was so important to get out there as much as possible. When I say get out there, for myself, I use a lot of social media, specifically on LinkedIn. So highlighting the services Culture Shift provides, highlighting testimonials, highlighting exciting products or services that we're offering, just constantly being people's faces on what we do and why we do it, which is really, really important. And you have to think about it, right? Because the average attention span of a consumer is 7 seconds. That means you have 7 seconds to grab somebody's attention and for them to make an active decision if they want to engage with you online or if they just want to pass you by. So the more that, you know, you're getting eyeballs on your you know, marketing, on your branding, all of that key stuff, the more influence you're going to have when these individuals actually have a need and actually have, you know, need support in the area that you provide. That's definitely key. I would say the biggest struggle, though, is keeping sales consistent. As I mentioned before, I was really, and I still am, a key part of the sales pipeline. Many individuals, if not all my clients, want to work specifically with me. So I outsource a lot of my back end. Back end is another word for operations, if you're not familiar with the term, but operations, so that I can specifically just focus on sales. So I have someone who handles my marketing, who handles my systems, who handles, you know, some administrative work, who handles any branding partnerships and things of that nature. Because if my brain isn't just on sales and I'm getting distracted with 10 other things, it's going to be the least thing that I do, because it's not always fun. Let's be honest. So by having all those things taken care of, and when a lead comes in and says, hey, we want to hire Culture Shift for a talk, I can answer that lead within 30 seconds, get them on a call within the afternoon, and book it by tomorrow. The speed to market when it comes to, you know, your sales funnel is so, so, so important. So when I think about the opportunity that sales and money brings to the business, obviously the more sales that you bring in, the more money is going to come in, and the more this and the more that, and everybody's celebrating. Yes. However, we want to be mindful that when they say more money, more problems, that's not a joke. Because great, you have more money, but when you're having more money, that means you're probably selling more of your services, which again means you probably only have so much of your own capacity to fulfill that service. So then you have to think about, who else can I hire? What other support can I utilize? And that's when the money that maybe was a $10,000 contract becomes a $5,000 contract, because you now have to hire a consultant to come in and do the work, or to support you in doing the work. And so the more money you make, the more, hopefully not a lot, but usually there's an increase or an influx of expenses depending on your business, depending on your team capacity, all those key things. I know when I went from just it being me to actually hiring full-time staff and expanding my consulting team, the expenses went up. It came to a point where you can't use the freebie platforms for your marketing and social media. We run 5 different brands across the Culture Shift HR kind of umbrella. You know, a free social media platform that allows you to post 2 brands on 1 channel, that's not really going to give us a lot of reach and a lot of opportunity, and it gives us a very broken system. So yes, I do have to pay for a platform that allows me to have unlimited channels and brands and all that stuff, so that we can actually market properly. You know, I think at the beginning, you can do a lot and get really far with the freebies and like the free templates and the free access. But at a point, if you really want to scale, if you really want to, you know, go beyond what you're doing, you're going to need the infrastructure and the operational systems to take you there. And that costs money. So when you think about, you know, well, Alicia, as businesses grow, why does more money go out the door? It's because it costs more to do more things, to have a higher quality. But I will say it is worth it in the end, especially if this is a business that you actually want to grow and actually want to scale, and not just, you know, keep as a side gig. I think for us, the biggest lesson that I've learned is that when times are good, it's in good, meaning that, you know, you got high revenue coming in, you know, things are getting paid on time. Be mindful of what the opposite can be. What I mean by that. So last year we had, unfortunately, we had one client that went, unfortunately, their business went insolvable. They went bankrupt. There was another word I was looking for, but I can't say it, so I'm just going to say bankrupt. We had a client that, unfortunately, after, you know, over a decade in business, successful business, went bankrupt. Insolvent, that's the word. It went insolvent and was not able to pay out our contract. We were in a 1-year agreement, and the work that we were doing was quite intense, and there was getting a time where, you know, things were kind of slowing down, people were leaving, and, you know, people were keeping me updated, but it felt very positive of, Alicia, we're going to keep the work going, the work needs to happen. Great, that's all I needed to hear. So we're doing the work in the background, things are happening, and then we get the email that they're shutting down their operational team, you know, laying off 90% of staff, and that this was the last invoice they were going to pay. Now, you would think one-year contract, okay, there's usually a contingency involved when, you know, such a long period happens that if you cancel early, there's a cancellation fee, which I did, which I was very grateful to have in my contract. However, they did not have the means to pay my 3-month cancellation fee. So I could have either, you know, just taken the 1 month that they did offer, which I ended up doing, or not take it and then go to a bankruptcy lawyer and fight for the additional 3 months. That is very expensive. And to be honest, because of the amount in comparison to bankruptcy cases, a lot of lawyers wouldn't even answer my calls because the amount wasn't significant enough for them to take. So here I am in this 1-year contract. This was actually the funds that I got to even hire my first full-time employee, comes to me and says, 4 months in, we're stopping. Like, we're stopping the work. You're not getting paid. So when that happens, you go into panic mode, as I did, because you're like, oh my gosh, this was money I relied on. This paid for payroll. This paid for XYZ. I now no longer have this money. What do I do? Well, my friends, that's why you have your business savings. Not only were we able to ride out the couple weeks until we got our next contract, but it made the cushion and the blow of that news a little bit easier to swallow. And that was such a relief to have. So having your business savings, having something that's a little bit of a cushion, very, very important. Another thing as well that unfortunately does happen more often than not is people just won't pay your invoice. Usually you'll invoice sometimes, you know, after an event or after a service, or maybe you do half up front, half at the end, and they'll pay the first invoice, but they won't pay the second, or it's a small contract, so they'll just pay you at the end, and they don't pay you. And then you find out that, again, unfortunately, they're a small business, they're going into business problems, and it's affecting now yourself. And you know, when you're faced with these situations, which again, unfortunately, I've encountered, is that one, you feel bad because you're like, I know I'm in a business too. I'm here to make money. I'm here to support myself, you know, my team, all these things. And to say we're no longer in business or we're struggling as a business owner, that's super duper hard to hear. And it breaks my heart because people who go into business, yes, they do it because they love it. It's their passion. But like, it's hard work, sidebar. It is hard work. It's a lot of sacrifice. It's a lot of time. But you do it anyways because you believe in what you're doing. So whenever I hear a business going under, my heart breaks because I'm like, the hours, the time, that's not easy. But then my head goes, well, I still need to get paid. You know, whether it's $1 or $100,000, this was money that I've built into my revenue plan. This is money that I think about when I think about growing the team, expanding my services, doing higher quality marketing initiatives, all that kind of stuff. So when my invoices don't get paid, it gets incredibly stressful. Because again, I feel like I have to rob Peter to pay Paul. Because when you think about your revenue, right, it's not just money that just sits into a cushy bank account and grows and grows and grows. As we talked about, money comes in, money goes out. So you'll have subscription fees, you'll have, you know, payroll or consulting costs, you'll have travel, you'll have food, you'll have things that sustain your business and sustain you so you can run your business. But when that money doesn't come in, then now you're like, oh shoot, I have to dig into that revenue or that pot of money, which I didn't really want to for this expense. And then unfortunately, it kind of becomes a little bit of a cycle. So having your business savings, having an emergency fund for your business or an emergency payroll and emergency savings, like if you can build that out, your future self will thank you so much. Hand over fist. So always know that if it's good, ride that wave, ride in the wave of people loving you and paying you and just soak it all up because that's amazing and that's such a great time. But what goes up must come down and you want to prepare for those downs. You know, like when we think about COVID shut down the world. Businesses stopped running, stopped getting revenue. People didn't know what was happening. Those businesses that didn't have a contingency plan to ride out COVID, mind you, it was quite a long time, didn't survive and are either starting up again or just aren't going to come back into the marketplace because the market's changed so much. So you have to be mindful that these things, these types of responsibilities only increase the more money you make, because the more money you make, the more expenses you're going to have, and the more you want these types of contingencies to help you support your business in the short term and in the long term. When I think about my money wins, definitely reaching over the half a milli mark was bananas. Like, you work day in and day out, and I don't like looking at numbers. I have like insecurities, which we'll come back to in a different episode. And that's, I don't know if everyone can hear that, but that's a beautiful New York police siren. So when you think about it, as I kind of get back onto my train of thought, I have money insecurity. So I don't like to look at the money coming into the account and all the things and the bills. I have a lot of things on auto withdrawal because I don't like to get too nitty gritty and it gets me anxious. But when I looked and I saw what we did, I was so proud of reaching that number and reaching that figure and knowing that we could do it and that I had a team that was capable and I had a service that was in demand. And it makes you feel really good and truly validates you. But then there's months where it's quiet, and there's months where no one's returning your emails, and there's months where, you know, a packed week where you hardly had time to breathe and eat a lunch. You now have all the free time in the world. It is incredibly stressful and I feel incredibly small. So those moments are going to happen. They've happened to me. They will happen, you know, throughout your point in business. But by having the right systems and structures in place, you will be able to celebrate and live and relive those wins over and over and over and over again. I would say when it comes to being focused on money and sales, don't let it consume you. Don't let that be your why. Be mindful of why you're doing what you do and fall in love with that reason. Everything else will come after that. The money will come, the opportunities will come, but people buy your why, and that's what's most important. And in the hard times, that's what you have to remember, because when the money isn't flowing in, when things are trickling in or things are slowing down and your brain wants to go in panic mode, remember your why. Remember, you know, the desire and the burning heart that you had for your business and the thing that you're doing in the world and the mark that you wanted to leave. So those are insights I wanted to impart to all of y'all when it comes to money struggles and money wins. It's a journey. It's interesting. And maybe we'll get deeper into some other things when it comes to like banks and different types of services and things like that that are offered. But first and foremost, understand your money pipeline, understand your marketing sales processes, and understand your different cycles that you're going to go through, because that's going to be super important as you not only manage your business, but as you grow and you scale your business as well. And so with that, we are going to end this episode here. Thank you all so much for tuning in, listening in, and, you know, being a part of this journey as always, because again, I love to share this insight with y'all and hearing from you and, you know, your comments and your own experiences. It just makes my heart full of joy. So thank you so much for listening. Hope y'all stay safe, be well, and we will see you next episode. Thank you.